Welcome in, welcome in. Gather round. Let's see if I still know how to do this. Major news in the hockey world today. Lou Lamoriello cleaning house, but he doesn't exactly take the trash out, if you will. Garth Snow fired, Doug Weight fired, but not out of the organization. We'll get into that. Plus, the NHL Combine is done. We'll talk about some of that stuff. And I think we got a pretty good series going in the Stanley Cup Finals. So perhaps we'll touch on that as well. We're back with you live in studio on the Hockey Talk Show. Podcasters didn't see this move because that was just downright awful. Juan, Aaron, pro tip, welcome in, guys. John, I hope you're still with us. We're talking about a ton of Islanders tonight. Lou Lamoriello has put his stamp on this franchise, and good for him because, God, they needed somebody's stamp, that's for sure. Lou for Prez, looks like the moves are fairly well received today and pretty popular. All right, sorry about that. I'll tell you what happened. Are we back on in... I know we're on in YouTube. I think we're having a little bit of an issue with our Facebook stream. All right, apologies for the rough start here. Let's get into it. Let's get on with the show. I see a lot of questions coming in. We're going to try and address some of the questions. Priscilla, what's up? Oh, there we go. All right, good. We're good now. We got the Hockey Talk Show on the Facebook page. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, good. Now we're up and ready to go. By the way, can I just say off the start, it is so nice to be back in the studio. We're going to do some live shows, some live game reactions, probably starting with game five, four. What do we have to? Five. 3-1 series lead. That would be game five. All right, there we go. Game five, since we can award the Stanley Cup in game five, we'll do some of the live reaction shows here on the Hockey Talk Show. So, look out for that. But it is so great to be back in the studio. Let's talk about the news of the day. I'm sorry if I'm not getting into your questions. And let me know in the comments, Facebook or YouTube, if you guys want to do phones today. Because I will do phones. If you have anything specific that you want to talk about regarding Garth Snow, regarding Doug Weight, regarding Lou Lamoriello, the Islanders. I will say I am just starting to do my homework and catching up. With Brian hit a topic that I want to hit. Good job, Bri. You're on the ball, my man. You're seeing things the way I'm seeing things, and that's good for everybody involved. I'm just starting to do my homework on the NHL Combine. And I'll say this. Damn it, is that thing boring? I mean, even for me who can consume anything, I'll watch ice dry. I love it. But I just can't even. I can't even. That NHL Combine is boring as sin. I love that we did. How long? I don't even know how long the Combine was. And the conclusion we came to was Rasmus Dahlin is still the number one draft pick. I mean, I know it helps, and it definitely helps. But honest to goodness, it is a little boring and a little rough to watch. Yes or no to phones later on in the episode. If you guys want to do calls, let me know in the comments right now. Just throw a quick yes or no up there, and I will open the phone lines a little bit later on in the show. I imagine we're going to do a lot more phones when we get into our trade rumor shows. And damn it, are there some good trade rumors that are starting to warm up, which I'm really, really excited about.
As I spill my coffee everywhere.
Let's talk about our title track here, if you will, the New York Islanders, and then we'll get into Vegas and the Washington Capitals, who I hate to tell you, but I think the Washington Capitals are going to be the next Stanley Cup champions. But let's not open up that just yet. Lou Lamoriello making the announcement today via a press release that he relieved Garth Snow and Doug Weight of their duties. What I love about this, and it is prototypical to the New York Islanders, that even though Lou Lamoriello is in charge and things are new and everything is great, they don't walk away from Garth Snow and Doug Weight completely. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, typical Islanders. But here's the thing you got to keep in mind. Yes, the two of those guys are still with the organization. I actually think that's a smart move on the part of Lou Lamoriello. Lou does things very calculated and I don't know if slow is the word, but calculated would be the right word. He takes his time with things. He doesn't rush into anything whatsoever. And I think that the fact that he's keeping those two with the organization is smart for a couple of reasons. One, he's going to have to pay those guys anyway. So regardless of where they sit, they both have contracts. He's got to pay both of them. So if you have to pay somebody, you might as well pay them and put them where you want them. You know, if I got to pay you, you might as well work. I don't know if you guys are fans of The Office, but there's this great episode where they hire a stripper and then they immediately regret it. And then so instead of just letting the stripper go, they make her answer the phones. Because Dwight's like, we're paying you for 3 hours of work. We're going to get 3 hours of work out of you. So they make the poor stripper answer phones for 3 hours. It's one of the great episodes ever. And I think that is the same sort of thinking. And I believe, if I got to be honest with you, I believe Lou Lamoriello is taking a page right out of Dwight Schrute in The Office's book, where it's like, if we're going to pay you, we might as well get something out of it. So Lou has been through draft preparation, but he hasn't been through it with the scouts for the New York Islanders. Garth and Doug have. So having them there to be able to go back and be like, hey, what do you guys think of blah, 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 I think is a real good asset. To let them have any sort of decision-making ability would be the mistake. But for Lou to use them as a resource and be like, hey, this is what my thought was. What's your thought in all this? I think is a fairly smart move. I don't think it's a bad move whatsoever. So if you look at the press release, it says very carefully, Garth Snow and Doug Weight were relieved of their duties. Both will remain with the organization. And again, like I said, typical Islanders. But in this particular case, I think that it's actually a pretty smart move and a relatively good thing that he's going to keep them along for the ride. What was weird was, and I am going to get into the next Islanders coach, Greg Garth Snow. No. Hang with me. Bear with me on this one. What I think is overall, you know, waiting for a week to dismiss them might have been perhaps a little awkward for everybody. when Lou Lamoriello was introduced, everybody said, well, you know, what about Garth Snow? Where's his standing? And he said, look, I'm going to come in and I'm going to have an evaluation period. Again, you can criticize Lou for not having his act together, but at the same time, Lou goes at Lou's speed and he's not going to hurry up or rush himself for any sort of reason. And I don't know about you guys, but I find that to be quite respectable. Was it 100% a smooth process, you know, being introduced as president of hockey operations and then firing your general manager and your coach a week or two later? No, it is not the smoothest thing in the world. It doesn't look like you have your act together. Does Lou Lamoriello give a flying F? No, I don't think so. And neither should most Islander fans, because it took him a little time, but he made the right move. And he's kept them in the organization, like I said, to be able to use them as a resource. So I think this is a positive move in the right direction. Where did Garth Snow and Doug Weight go wrong? To me, and I know you guys are going to kill me for this, especially the Islander fans, to me, Doug Weight does an okay slash passable job his entire tenure as a general manager with the New York Islanders up until December of this year. And I mean of this season, 2017. He is arguably a decent general manager up until December of 2018. May I remind you of some of the good moves he made? Okay, drafting John Tavares, just like Lou with Austin Matthews. Obviously, anybody can go up there and announce that pick. He still did it. If you guys remember, now don't have revisionist history, but if you remember, because I was in the thick of this, going into that 09 draft, Tavares, Duchesne, and Hedman, I can remember Friday afternoon, the rumors flying, buzzing about that it was Duchesne that had moved up or it was Hedman. And everybody kind of knew that Hedman was going to be the prize. He was just going to take longer to develop. Not to say that Hedman's better than John. It's just different. It's just different. I mean, who would you rather have now? I mean, you know, it's just different. Hedman's a phenomenal player. I think Hedman is as valuable to the Tampa Bay Lightning defense as John is valuable to the New York Islanders offense. But if you remember, that was a three-way tie for a little while there. So Garth still had to pull the trigger, and he still had to make the pick. So, but if you want to say, Ant, you're crazy on that one, okay, fine. That's okay with me. I'm okay with that. But look at some of the other moves that he made. The Ryan Smith deal, I would make that move every day for the rest of my life, three times on Sunday. That was a damn good move. He cleared out garbage prospects that weren't his. I think a first-round draft pick or whatever it was. I don't have it in front of me. And got a chance to make a run for his team. It didn't work. He decided to embark on a rebuild. He did a fairly good job. He let Franz Nielsen go. He let a couple guys go that he probably should have kept. I think Franz Nielsen. I think Matt Martin. But overall, he did a good job. He brought in just as much as he lost. Andrew Ladd stunk this year. Andrew Ladd will be great next year. I know this to be true. He was good first year. Second year, meh. He'll be better next year. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Jordan Eberle takes a little bit of a slowdown this year. Just kind of happens. So I really feel, and again, like, got rid of so many, like, made so many great, Barzal and, you know, Beauvillier and you name it. He did a halfway decent job where I really feel like, and I'm not saying he's one of the greats. I'm saying he was passable. Where he really slipped out of contention for me was December of this season. He didn't do a good enough job evaluating this team on the fly. And to me, that's why he lost his job. That's part A. Doug Weight lost his job because of December 2017. Everybody knew the defense was a problem. Garth didn't do anything to go out and help that via trades. Doug did nothing to make adjustments. I mean, adjustments on the ice, approach, systems, whatever you want to call it, took weeks on end, to make a change. And you can't do that. If you see the problem, you've got to fix it immediately. Great coaches will fix that stuff in game. In game, they'll fix that stuff. They couldn't even fix it over the course of a couple of weeks. And then when they made adjustments, it didn't work. And they couldn't go double back and make other adjustments. So that's to me why Doug Waite lost his job. He wasn't good enough to realize he needed to make some changes. He kept running the same lineup out there and doing the same exact things, and it wasn't working. Garth had every opportunity to go pick up a defenseman and a goaltender, and he didn't. And you can say, look, we don't know what happened. He probably tried. I'm going to tell you this as I'm sitting here. I know he tried. I know for a fact he put calls in and he tried. I know he tried to get what's-his-name from Buffalo. I know he did. I know a call was made. I know it for fact. But where he really fouled up was, and this was a big problem with Garth Snow, he didn't get in front of a camera, in front of a microphone, and address everybody and say, look, we're trying / we tried. Why didn't you upgrade your defense? Look, we tried. We made the proper phone calls. We the prices were this, the prices were that. It was damn near impossible. I'm not going to sit there and sacrifice, you know, Anthony Beauvillier or Matthew Barzell. It doesn't make sense to trade that for this. We're going to stick with our guys. I hope Halak and Greiss put it together. There was zero communication, and that was a huge problem for Garth, because the media is not going to be on your side if you don't communicate with them. Mike, thanks. Robin Leonard, that's it. John, wrong. Snow never did anything at the trade deadline to help his to help this team. He was also horrible at the draft. Ryan Strom. Ryan Strom was a bust. I don't necessarily know if he was a bust. If it was that obvious he was a bust. A couple other people here making good points. Daniel. There was a lot of talk in that 09 draft that John Tavares was too slow, and he is slow. He's the slowest out of those three. Still slow to this day. Still the worst part of his game is that he's slow. He would be, you know, maybe not Crosby Ovechkin level, but just underneath that if he had a bit more speed to his game, and he knows it. He's improved, but he just doesn't have that gear, you know? He never has. It's always been a knock on his game. So Garth could have easily passed on him. Lost all faith in Snow after the three-goalie situation, which cost them the playoffs in 16 and 17. Mike, tremendous point, brother. Tremendous point. It wasn't where Snow lost his job, but everybody would agree it was a massive stumbling block. Holding on to JF Berube for an entire year so that you can sacrifice him in the draft. Oh, wait. And then give up more than that just so you don't lose Brock Nelson, which I would agree. I don't want to lose Brock Nelson either, but he was one of the general managers that overpaid. Lucky for Garth, it wasn't Carlson or Marchessault or Smith. But it could have very well have been if he would have gave up some quality players. But look, like I said, he turned Griffin Reinhart into Matthew Barzell. That was a sweet move. The Jordan Eberle, again, he drafted Ryan Strom. He stunk. He pivoted. He turned Ryan Strom into Jordan Eberle. I'm sorry. That's a good move. The point is, Garth was a passable general manager up until this year when he refused to pay what it took. He went out and grabbed two scrubs at the deadline that were a complete waste of time. He had to be able to go out there and get somebody. I understand if you can't get Robin Leonard. I understand that Arizona didn't want to part with Ronta. Okay, fine. But get in front of a microphone and tell us, look, you don't have to be like, hey, we tried to get Antti Ranta and it didn't work. And you don't have to dump on the goalies that you have going in net for you that night. but get in front of a microphone, get in front of a camera and say, look, you know, everybody wanted Matthew Barzell and I'm not trading him. Okay, then fine. That's fine. But, you know, to
who was it that made that point?
To Mike's point, the three goalie situation ruined Halak, right? That upset Halak. Then you sent him down to teach him a lesson or whatever because he spoke up in the media. And let's not pretend like for a second that that wasn't the issue, because that's exactly what it was. Halak ran his mouth and Garth didn't like it and he got sent down to ride the bus. And that was a waste of a season. And now you're in a situation where you were in a situation where you couldn't get it back at the following year. And then Greiss went and laid an egg all year long and you find yourself missing the playoffs again. Huge issue. The second place, I said part A is where he lost his job, part A in December of this year. Part B is that press conference with Jonathan Ledecky. That was awful. Ledecky came in and read his statement. And by the way, and again, I like all the other outlets. I like all the other commentators, the insiders and all that stuff. I think they're wonderful people. Anybody who does hockey content, I consume all of it. But I have to say this. I have to point it out. I have to call it like I see it. I saw the Ledecky press conference as a positive. Everybody else called Ledecky and the Islanders typical, a mess, dysfunction, this, you know, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was great. I thought him getting up and walking away said more than anything he could have said if he had sat there and answered questions. So, and if I'm not getting to your questions, I'm just taking a peek. I'm going to get to most of these. You may have to re-throw them in at me, but I'm going to get to most of these. So I thought Ledecky's move was great. Then Garth comes in. And where Garth went wrong was he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's a quote, basically. Look, when I took over this team, it wasn't a playoff team. And we've gone through an extensive rebuild. And now we feel we're a playoff caliber team. Right there. You're done. You're done. Because it didn't take more than 3.2 seconds for people to throw the stats up from the year Garth took over to this past season. And the wins and losses record were identical. Identical. You had great years, but you failed to achieve your goal. Right then and there, you cannot say that in the media and expect people to take you seriously. Garth's move should have been, we stunk this year. We tried to dig ourselves out of a hole. We couldn't. We go back to work tomorrow. There's no excuses. It all falls on me. Instead, Garth went out there and goes, look, we're a playoff team. We know we're a playoff team. As he's sitting there eliminated from the playoffs. We went through a rebuild. I know we're a playoff caliber team. Right there. Right then and there. You cannot be that delusional and say that amount of insanity. Insanity. And expect to keep your job. Not with new owners. Not going into a new building. There's hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be tied up in this Belmont Arena. You can't have an insane person sitting there being a mouthpiece for your organization. And by the way, it's the only two or three times he actually addresses the media every single year. And I'm not talking about the spots that he used to do with Howie Rose in game that he no longer did with the new kid, Brendan Burke. Because that doesn't count. Because he knows what those questions are. And Howie Rose works for the team. And he's not going to fire anything hard at him. So don't give me that mid-season crap from your own play-by-play guy and act like, you know, you're answering questions from the media. Because you're not. His extreme lack of communication with the media was a problem. And it was a problem for new ownership. And everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. So that's where Garth Snow went wrong. Garth Snow, I mean, let me tell you something. And again, people are not going to like hearing this. but by the skin of his teeth, like any puck that hits the post, that goes a quarter of an inch the other way, guy still has his job. Guy still has his job. He did enough decent things over this amount of time that he could have kept his job if the Islanders made the playoffs this season. He could have done it. I don't think he could have avoided had Lou coming over, but he could have done it. Four times we made the playoffs in 12 years. You're right, John. It's unacceptable. But it would have been five if they made it this year. And like I said, skin of his teeth, it could have went the other way if the team didn't lay an egg. But it was his fault. He did not get the right pieces in place to give the team a chance to win. For Snow and Wake to still be on the team shows me Wang is still has a big part of the team. John, appreciate the comment. Absolutely not. Incorrect. I can correct that for you right now. No, absolutely not. Charles Wong has nothing to do with the operation of the team. From what we've learned over the last 3 or 4 weeks, Jonathan Ledecky doesn't have much to do with the operation of the team. It's Scott Malkin's team. And Scott Malkin is deathly afraid of being in front of a camera. So you will not see him. You'll see Jonathan, but has nothing to do whatsoever with Charles Wong. What it has to do with, they have to pay them, like I said earlier, if in case you're just joining us, they got to pay those two anyway. Might as well keep them around so you can pick up the phone and go, what was your assessment of this? Or what did you do in this situation? Or what do you think? It's just a resource. It's just a resource. It's like when you take a new job and the person who has the job prior to you slides you their number and goes, hey, give me a call if you need anything. It's nice to pick up that phone and be like, you know, where's the pencil room? For lack of a better example. And that was not a good example. How can you say he would still have his job? The Kings won 2 cups and they fired both the coach and the GM. Yeah, man. The Kings did that. I always put the example out there of the New York Yankees. New York Yankees, look how far they went in the playoffs. They fired their coach. They have a higher bit of accountability in their organization. And I said it before in the last episode we did, accountability is everything. But, you know, truth be told, this team, honestly, from December on, if they would have gotten an Ian Cole, a Jack Johnson, this year would have been a different year. If they would have been able to pry a goaltender away from somebody or, and this is totally Garth's fault, have a third option come up and play and take some major playing time, which they weren't able to do with Christopher Gibson, this could have been a different year. This really genuinely could have been a different year. Look at early on in this season, October, November, this team was right in it. They were right in it. They started to falter around December. By January, it was a nightmare. But, you know, it was deflating the amount of goals they were letting in. But they could have been in it if Garth would have made those moves. If they would have made those moves. And let's all be honest with each other. This team goes to the second round of the playoffs. Nobody is nearly as upset as they are right now. They're just not. They're just not. Mike, I'm relieved to see the assistant coaching or lack thereof staff go. They were all Waits flunky buddies, nothing more except maybe Cronin. Greg Cronin is an absolute genius. You don't work in this league for as long as he has without having the smarts. As far as I know, and I am only going by what Lou said today, there are no other changes other than Doug Waite's no longer the head coach and Garth Snow is no longer the general manager. So the assistant coaches are still here. I hate to break that to you, Mike, but the assistant coaches are still here. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be here next week. But as of right now, they're still here. And I think that if Lou is smart, he keeps Greg Cronin because Greg is a great coach. Great coach. He's never been the kind of guy that can step up and become a head coach, but he's a great coach. With the Islanders, with Toronto, he's done a phenomenal job. So I'd keep him. Obviously, whoever I hire as a head coach, I would let them decide. But any head coach coming in would offer Greg Cronin a job. Unless he's got 2 or 3 guys that he definitely wants to bring with him. You know, I don't know. Let's see here. All right. Let's go with the questions. Do I think that John Tavares stays now? I think that that rumor, which I don't know if that is, you know, 100% true, that Lou Lamoriello was meeting daily with John Tavares and his representatives, or at least calling or phoning and this and that. Because, again, I don't know how anybody would really know that. But I think that those rumors were, if true, essentially exactly what you're seeing here. That was Lou checking up on John to be like, look, this is the direction that we feel like we're going in. Does this change the status? And it's not a bad move. Look, you can't run an organization based off of what your star player wants. But in this particular case, it is kind of important that he knows what's going on. You're in the midst of re-signing him. I know that conversations have taken place between ownership and or Garth Snow and John Tavares's representation. They've obviously talked, even if it was just a little bit. Discussions have happened. So you don't make a move like this unless John knows first, is essentially what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're like, John, is it okay with you if we fire the coach? But it is a class move, and I believe a Lou move, for him to go in and be like, look, John, I just want you to know, after evaluating this team in the short amount of time I've been here, I think we need a culture change, and I think it starts with a new head coach and a new general manager. I'm thinking about keeping Garth with the team. I think he could be a valuable asset. I just want to let you know first, do you have any thoughts or feelings on this? Does this change your status at all? Does this change your thought process? Talk to me. I think something like that definitely took place, and I think that's where those conversations came from. But saying that, wherever those rumors were coming from, I mean, Lou is not one to give away any information he doesn't want out there. And, it doesn't necessarily help the player either to start leaking things. Do you guys want to hear from Lou? This is one of the things, after firing Garth Snow, after getting rid of Snow, this is what, here's a quote from Lou Lamoriello today.
Oh, hi, Mr. Plow. Are you tired of having your hands cut off by snow blowers and the inevitable heart attacks that come with shoveling snow?
Uh-huh.
Then call Klondike 53226. Call now and receive a free t-shirt. He could still surprise you.
But I'm a real tightwad. Can I afford this remarkable system?
Absolutely. My prices are so low, you'll think I've suffered brain damage.
You are fully bonded and licensed by the city, aren't you, Mr. Plow?
Shut up, boy.
Ah!
So remember, call Mr. Plow. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
There you go. I don't think it's too disrespectful to call Lou Lamoriello Mr. Plow, given the circumstances. I really don't think it's that bad of a deal. Coach Stan, they led in goals for until January. There we go. See, this is what happens when you have a third grade reading level and you try and host a show. They led in goals for until January. Then they led in goals against down the stretch. Yeah, I mean, 17 wasn't a bad year for them. Once that calendar flipped, they were in trouble. But the signs were there. And once that calendar did flip from 17 to 18, the signs would have been, I got to get a defenseman. I got to get a goaltender in here ASAP. ASAP. And they did not do that, which was a huge, huge problem for them. Let's see. Daniel, it's all Lou now. Priscilla, preacher brother, thank you. Let me see here. Joe, I like Doug Wade as a coach. I do see him coaching somewhere else down the line. I agree with that. I think Doug is going to be a great coach. I think he's just got learning to do. This is why I don't like first-year coaches. This is why first-year coaches stink. You know? I mean, they stink. I say it all the time. First-year coaches, first-year players are a problem. Look at that face. So I think Doug gets another job somewhere someday, and I think he's got a ton of potential. By the way, and let me just reiterate this, Doug Waite is one of the most beloved people in hockey, one of the most beloved. So you're not going to find many of the hockey pundits out there that don't have a kind word to say about Doug Weight. It's all positive. It's just that Doug made mistakes. Maybe it was listening to Garth too much. Maybe he wasn't making the adjustments as quick as he could, but he made some mistakes, and he deserved to be fired. He honestly shouldn't have been put in that position to begin with. He really shouldn't. He gave a great run towards the end of the season prior. He wasn't ready. He just wasn't ready. Doug, if he wants to be ready, knowing what I know about him, should go down to the A and be a head coach down there somewhere. Now he's going to have to take a step back, but he really should. That's where I would put him. Who do you think is the goalie the Islanders will target? Joe, that is the obvious question. And what I can, and I've been thinking about this wholeheartedly, and we've talked about this on this show a little bit. The free agent, and we'll get into it more when we do trade rumors in our draft shows. The free agent goalie market is bupkis. It stinks on ice. It's awful. He's going to have to trade for somebody. And I honestly do not know who that is because Ranta's locked up, right? Didn't he just sign? Leonard, they're talking about an extension, unless that goes incredibly sour. He's got to make a move. And honestly, look at Freddie Anderson in Toronto. That was all Lou. So I'm feeling pretty good about it from that perspective. Like, if there's a goalie to be had through the trade market, Lou will find it and make it happen. But, I mean, there's not a lot of options out there. I mean, really not a lot. There's not a Matt Murray, Marc-Andre Fleury type situation in the National Hockey League right now that would make such an acquisition a little bit easier, you know? There's not a Corey Schneider, I hate Vancouver and I want out, and the current Vancouver general manager is a big fat dummy type situation that would make this easier. It's just really not there. It's not a major story as those two scenarios were. Could there be a rivalry? Could there be an unhappy goaltender there? Yeah, I'm sure those things will leak out as soon as the Stanley Cup finals are over. But until that happens, we're going to have to wait and see what the deal is there. So as far as who they're going to target in the goalie market, it's got to be a trade because it is not there free agency wise. It is just not there. Let me see here. Coach Dan wants Carlson. Certainly a lot of teams are going to be throwing a lot of weight behind Carlson. He's having a good playoff. Carlson pulled an Ovechkin in the game last night, scored from that right circle. The other thing, Garth Snow got thrown into the GM job, but if you remember that, he retired and became the GM and had to last this long. Partially it was Charles Wong, and I have nothing bad to say about Charles. He was a great owner. He paid me, so I honestly can't say anything bad about him, but, he believed too much in the stuff that Garth Snow was selling, a little too much. And the new owners don't have that sort of an allegiance to him, and that's why they make a move there. Mike, this is a great point. I think the only reason Snow is still in the organization is due to his contract through 2022. No other reason. I've heard this rumor. I have not seen that contract. I have not seen it. I don't doubt it. This is the owner that signed Alexi Yashin and Rick DiPietro. So it would not surprise me if Charles Wong actually did give him a 10-year deal. But I have not seen that contract, and so I can't say, well, that's the only reason why. Like I said, I think it's Lou being smart. Lou's got to pay him anyway. Whatever his contract is, 5 years, 6 years left, 10 years left, doesn't matter. He's got to pay him. Great. Put on a suit. Sit in that office. And when I need you, I will call you. Now, I'm sure it's not that brash because they are friends. They do have a relationship. Garth did hire his son to be an assistant general manager after he got fired from New Jersey, after Lou got fired from New Jersey, or chose to leave New Jersey after he got pushed aside. So it's not like he doesn't have a lot of love and respect for Garth personally. He does. And by the way, Garth Snow is not a bad human being. He is a really good person. He just has a communication issue, and he believes a little bit too much of his own ego. That's where Garth goes wrong. He made some flat-out brilliant moves after a bunch of really big missteps. And at the end of the day, his missteps outweighed his brilliant moves, and he bought into his own stink a little bit too much, and that's why he's on the outside looking in right now. Let's see here. I think it comes from the Caps. Can't keep Holpe, Carlson, or Grubauer. Holpe and Grubauer is the closest we have to Murray and Fleury. It's just not as close. I think that Grubauer is an option. I'm just not flat out in love with Grubauer. He's got the potential to be there. Just not flat out in love with him. Shane, Garth Snow is a class guy, 100%. I wish him nothing but the best. A fresh start may be the direction best for all parties. Totally agree. I would not be surprised if you see Garth Snow as a general manager someday somewhere else. By the way, Seattle's going to get a team soon. Could be an option for him. Tom, who's a diehard Caps fan, goes, you can have Grubauer. And that is why I'm not that excited about Grubauer. If diehard fans of the team are like, oh, you can have him, then now I don't want him really all that much. Now I really don't want him all that much. Let's see here. Coaching options for the New York Islanders. Here's my three. You ready? You're going to be disappointed. Alain Vigneault. What's his name? Oh, my God. Alain Vigneault. Alain Vigneault, Alain Vigneault, and Alain Vigneault. Those are my coaching options. What's his name from Arizona? Not Tortorella, no. I love Tortorella, but no, I don't want him as my head coach. Absolutely not. Dave Tippett. Here's my three. Can't believe I forgot Dave Tippett's name, especially since I just pulled up a picture of him 3 seconds before starting the show. Alain Vigneault, Dave Tippett. Why isn't there a coach today? Because of my third option, Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz does not have a contract with the Washington Capitals past this season. Barry Trotz is the entire reason why the New York Islanders didn't say, Doug Waite's been fired, and here's our new coach. Because Barry Trotz is a free agent, and why wouldn't you try and lure away the coach that just took a team to the Stanley Cup final? Why wouldn't you? Richard, Joe, bless your heart for jumping in on Tippett. Yep. I don't know how Dave Tippett has gone without a job for the longest time. I don't know how. I know he's a bit difficult, and I know he likes to be involved in the front office stuff, but Dave Tippett is a great coach and would definitely help this team out. If you ask me, give me Barry Trotz any day of the week, 4 times on Sunday. Barry Trotz is the guy. In fact, the fact that Washington does not have him under contract is an absolute travesty. It just goes to show you how much McClellan is, you know, I mean, how by all means do you let a Stanley Cup champion coach walk away after he won the Stanley Cup? How? And if I'm Barry Trotz, I'm walking away. Cause guess what? I had one hell of a run in Nashville and I just came to another team and I won them a cup. So Barry Trotz is looking at, I'm telling you right now what Barry Trotz is looking at. He is looking at a piece of paper right now in his home. He's looking at a piece of paper and you're thinking, what is it, lineup strategy for tomorrow night? No, it has Mike Babcock's salary on it. That's exactly what Barry Trotz is looking at right now. He's looking at Mike Babcock's salary. And why the hell not? He took Nashville as far as he could for the longest time ever. And then when he finally got let go, his next team, he took to the Stanley Cup final. And by the way, and I'm sorry, but the Capitals, I mean, I am all but this close from saying that they're going to win this cup. I can't literally cannot count Vegas out of it. But Vegas couldn't recover from the James Neal empty netter miss last night in the game, and they just got plowed after. Caps were lucky to get out of the first period. The Caps were lucky to get out of the first period in the first, like, 13, 14, 15 minutes of the period. And then the Caps just put three in because that's what good teams do. They see an injured animal and they attack it. And that's exactly what they did last night. But 13 minutes into that game, you're like, oh, my God, the Caps are going to get destroyed. This series is getting tied up, going back to Vegas. And then Neal misses, and then that was it. Caps put one in, two in. They go into the first intermission up 3-0. That game was over. Over. I think the Washington Capitals are going to win. Richard, do you not think the Washington Capitals will re-sign him? I don't. Now, granted, during the Stanley Cup Finals is not the time to do a contract negotiation. But I think it's all pretty telling that you've gotten to this point with a coach that doesn't have a contract. I mean, Brian McClellan has to literally be going, look, Barry, we screwed up. Here's a check. Fill it in. See you next year, bud. In order to make this right. And if I'm Barry Trotz, to hell with the Washington Capitals. I'll take my Stanley Cup ring and I'll go out onto the free agent market and I'll make my money. Now, it's not the greatest time for a coach. There just so happens to be one vacancy in the National Hockey League right now. But that being said, nothing wrong with that, because guess who that vacancy is with? A walking Hall of Famer, Lou Lamoriello. Guess who you have in the lineup? One of the bright stars in the game in number 91, if he resigns. Right behind him is the Calder Trophy winner. And he just got a couple of loose ends to tie up. I'd come to the New York Islanders if I was Barry Trotz. Especially because what was that? The new owners are getting a new arena? They got big, fat, deep pockets? They're willing to pay? Settle in just fine. Cash that Islander check just as easy as the Capitals check. I did not see this for myself, but I read it in an article that said that at the end of the Caps Columbus series, Barry Trotz was caught mouthing to John Tortorella, "I'm done. I'm out of here." Something to that nature. Perhaps you guys saw it. Maybe you can send me the clip. Tweet it to me. Facebook it to me. Hockey Talk Show. At Hockey Talk Show. But I read that people, and I don't know if it's on camera or people just saw and they've been quietly writing about it, that when he shook hands during the line with Tortorella, he mouthed to Tortorella, "No, I'm done. I'm out of here." And that was round one, right? That was round one. And like I said, quarter of an inch this way, quarter of an inch that way. Islanders do what they're supposed to do. Garth might still have a job. The Caps don't beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. Totally different story. Totally different story, guys. I mean, I can't even tell you. I said, when the Caps beat, you can go back. That's why I love this show. It's documented. It's there. You can go back. When the Caps beat Columbus, I said, there's something different about this team. They have the 100-yard stare. There's a different look in their eye this year. This is not the best Washington Capitals team, but there's something different about them. And when they beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, they became unstoppable. They became unstoppable. They started to buy into their own stuff a whole lot more. A whole lot more. What were the other questions? There was a lot of other great non-Islander questions, because we're going to wrap up here, because even though this show started off like a train wreck, we've been going pretty strong here for 46 minutes. Dear Lord. Your old pal Lance got some dinner waiting for him. So the Islanders will be the New York Mets of the hockey for 3 to 5 years. Tom, please don't say that. I'm a Mets fan already. I can't have two Metses. Two Metses. Trotz will be leaving with the cup and suitcase after the game, just like Mike Keenan did with the Rangers after they won the cup. True words, Priscilla. True words, never spoken. Rob says that him saying, "I'm out, I'm done," was on camera. I have to catch that clip somewhere. Thanks for that, Rob. Let's see. Blubbity, blubbity, bleepity. Anybody else? Any other questions? Here was another question. Do I think this affects the John Tavares thing? No, I don't. Because like I said, I feel like there's been some good communication with them. And if they're communicating and they're talking, look, you know, this might be heartbreaking for John, but John's had a couple of heartbreaking things to deal with already as an Islander fan, as an Islander player. You know, losing Matt Molson, losing Franz Nielsen, Kyle Okposo. So he's a pro. He's used to it. He's definitely used to it. The NHL Combine. That name again is Mr. Plow. The NHL Combine, I watched a bunch of it. Rasmus Dahlin is still our number one pick. He'll go to Buffalo. And I'm really interested to see what some of these other kids are. Before we move on from the Combine, I just want to say this. The NFL Combine is fantastic. The NHL Combine is lacking. And I think what they got to start doing moving forward is involving more hockey in the hockey combine. Because I like seeing kids jump around, and I think there's an incredible amount of value that comes from these combine situations. You know, how many pull-ups you can do, all this and that stuff. Doesn't mean everything in the world, but it means a little something. It's nice information to have. But put some skates on these kids. For Christ's sake. I want to know how fast they are, blue line to blue line. I want to know how great they are as skating backwards. I want to know how fast their shot is. I want to know, I want to know a couple of things. The entire combine goes for days. Nobody has a stick in their hand. How is this a thing? How is this an NHL combine? There's no hockey. It's all jumping around and pull-ups and garbage. Mike says Tavares wants to win bottom line. So to wrap this up and the goalie questions, and Priscilla's got a good one. Should the Islanders acquire Carter Hutton? I like Carter. I liked Carter a lot when he was with Nashville. In fact, I sat right behind Carter when he was in net one night, and he was very... He's a big dude. He was really very fun to watch. I don't know. He also has the St. Louis Blues goalie curse on him now. So I'm not sure if Carter Hutton's the guy. Maybe. I think tomorrow is Fortnite Day at the Combine. It's an important skill, Tom. It's a great point. It's an important skill. How's your Fortnite game coming? Lou is instilling a winning culture as we speak. That's exactly what this move was. It was just a signal to the world. Guys, things are different. We knew that when he arrived, and we know it now even more. Things are just different here. Let's see. Any other questions to wrap it up before we go? So that was my thought on the combine. Like, get some hockey involved in the combine for the love of Pete. You know. Anyway, that's where I was going with this. Yes. Thanks, Mike. Mike, I'm going to give you a gold star for this episode. You've been outstanding, sir. The third part of convincing John to stay, and I've said this before, and I think it means more than anything right now, is trade those two number one draft picks. You need a goaltender. You need a defenseman. I don't care if they trade this draft pick for a goalie and or defenseman that they are only going to have access to for one season. It doesn't matter. I don't even give a royal crap about the season, to be honest with you. Trading those draft picks for a goaltender does one thing and one thing only. Signals to John Tavares that we're serious about winning right now. That's all you have to do. There is, again... Just what I said, the exact same thing during the deadline. You guys remember the shows. There is no tomorrow. Should you trade this? Should you trade that? Do you want to do this to get a rental? Yep. John Tavares is signed for 7 more years. Do I want to trade an asset for a rental? Nope. John Tavares is going to become a free agent and walk away. Do I want to trade an asset for a rental? Yep. Yep, I do. And I want to trade those draft picks for players that are at least going to be with me for 1 year. If I can get two, massive win. Massive win. But you're not trading him for Corey Schneider or anybody else that's going to be signed for years to come. That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. So move those two draft picks for a player now. Guys, you know, if there's one thing that Ron Francis screwed up in Carolina, he didn't move fast enough. He didn't realize when his time was his time. Give credit to the boys in Philadelphia, man. They went out and picked up Marek from Detroit. Wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but it did what it needed to do, right? Gave up some assets for it, made it happen, did what they needed to do. McClellan, for as clueless and as screwed up as he was handling Barrett Trotz, gave up a third-round pick for Kempney. Might be the greatest trade for this year. Honestly, might be third-round pick for Kempney. Everybody's like, I don't even think anybody even talked about it. I don't even think Kempney's mom knew he got traded. That's how little talk there was about it. Look at it now. Might be the greatest trade ever. And while we're on Kempney, can we just talk about the fact that Tom Wilson and Reeves are the best players in the Stanley Cup Finals? Like, the best. And I'm not going to take away from Ovechkin, because the Ovechkin-Kuznetsov combination was exactly what Ovechkin-Backstrom was supposed to be if it wasn't for the fact that Backstrom sucks balls. But those two together are amazing. That Russian connection is phenomenal. But besides that, Wilson is amazing. And Reeves has been just as good. Reeves has been carrying that fourth line, and coincidentally, that fourth line has been carrying that team. Smith-Pelly's been good. Oshie, I feel like, has finally been playing to where he should be playing. Oshie should take the subway for the rest of his life. If I was TJ Oshie, I'd sell all my cars right now, because the subway thing's working. The subway bit is working. Beagle's been a great third, fourth line player. Is Beagle's on the fourth line, right? Been great. Great. 83 is great. They're all great. Wilson and Reeves. To me, those are your two guys. I like watching them. When those two guys are on the ice, I'm not looking at anybody else. I'm watching them. When they're on the ice together, unbelievably good. Unbelievably good and exciting. I mean, I just want to see a fight. That's the last thing I want to see, is a fight between those two. That would be the best ever. They fought twice before when Reeves was in St. Louis. But again, you talk about, you know, deals that were made that weren't that big of a deal. We were here talking about it on this show. Why on earth would Vegas help Pittsburgh get Brassard? Why would they do that, right? That was the whole conversation. You know, look what happened. They wound up picking up a player that is making a difference for them in the Stanley Cup final. And again, George McPhee wins. But tell me all about the Vegas conspiracy theory. I think that Matt Martin will come back to the Islanders. I think that Martin to Toronto was a Lou move, and it wasn't a Babcock move, which is why he found himself on the outside looking in. I think one of the things that Lou will do is try and get Matt back here. He can fit it in salary cap wise. Where was my other point to go on the Stanley Cup final while I was there? I don't know. I got a lot of points to make on the Stanley Cup final. There's been a lot of things that are happening. It's been a great, 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 great series. Really, really fun to watch. They should rename the cup for this year the George McPhee Cup. Yeah, he's general manager of the year. And Gerard Gallant's coach of the year. And Barry Trotz is going to get that Mike Babcock money, baby. Going to cash in that Mike Babcock money. You know, you look at Vegas and you look at Washington, and those little minor deals made all the difference in the world for them, especially later on. Reeves is just so good for the Vegas Golden Knights. So good. And Wilson has stepped up and been a key player. You need those enforcers. It's like, it's good to see that the enforcers are still as effective. That was the other point out. Yes, Casey, God bless your heart. Casey, I'm going to send you $3 when I get a chance. That's how good that was. I'm going to waste $4 on postage to send you $3 in a box. Tatar, not in the lineup whatsoever. Perron comes out. Tatar goes in. He was like lightning in a bottle last night. He was maybe the fastest player on that ice. He looked so damn good in that. He was noticeable every time he was on the ice. Every time he was on the ice. Tatar looked great. I mean, I don't see how you can take him out of the lineup moving forward. Perron really has slowed down and hasn't showed up. But Tatar looked great. Really, really great. Anything else before we go? Man, this was fun. I miss doing this show. I'm glad we didn't talk about this up at the front, but we had one tech issue after the next. Then we ran into an issue with Facebook and the new privacy settings. And then I had a chance to upgrade the studio. You can't see it on that end, but I got two monitors now here in the studio to look at instead of just, four if you can. It's five. A lot of monitors here. There's a lot of screens facing me right now. But it's going to make the show better. Again, not something you guys will notice per se, but it's definitely going to make the show a whole lot better. Joe, I love this question. Hurricanes and Coyotes will show off their third jersey on June 22nd, and the rumor the Hurricanes' third may be a Whalers jersey. We are going to do, Joe, you have my promise, because I've actually ascertained some third jersey rumors. We are going to do an entire episode dedicated to the third jersey, which is making its comeback in the National Hockey League next season. We've got some, we don't have some full-on leaks just yet, but we've got some rumors and some things to talk about, and we are absolutely going to dedicate an entire episode to the third jersey before they come out. And then as they come out, we will definitely be covering them on the Hockey Talk Show. That is what we do on the Hockey Talk Show. We do not break news. We talk about it. Don't forget that. Tell all your friends. Vegas does not look as fast as they have because of what the Caps are doing. Caps are gunking up the middle of the ice. Caps are making hits whenever they get a chance. When you look at that team, Wilson, Smith-Pelly, Ovechkin, they're a much more physical team than the Vegas Golden Knights are, and perhaps maybe a more physical team than they've had to face. I mean, you can make the argument that LA is a bigger, more physical team than the Caps are. I'll take that. But LA was in no position to compete this year. And Vegas flew right by them. Flyer said to the black outdoor jersey too. Yeah, there's some teams that are not going to get the third jersey and some teams that are. I will get the list and we will go over it for sure. But the fact that the Hurricanes are going to bring back the Whalers jersey, I think is thoroughly exciting. You know, put the Canes jersey into the Whalers colors, or, you know, get that old Hartford H back on there. I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe the Hurricanes and the Hartford H. I don't really know. It doesn't really make a ton of sense to me, but however they bring it back, I'm sure it'll be great. Because if we know anything about the new owner in Carolina, he loves the whole Whaler thing. He loves that old school Whaler culture. Aaron, I'm the one that breaks the news. There you go. Aaron will break the news. We'll just talk about it. Let's see here. Eddie with one of his world famous predictions. Thursday's final score, Washington 27, Vegas 1. Peter will complain about the Whalers encouraging harpooning critters. There you go. Winnipeg got to be kicking themselves. Yeah, Winnipeg, Nashville, there's some disappointments this year in the playoffs. But you got to admit, Vegas and the Caps have been exciting. I mean, it would break my heart if it ended in five. I don't even know if it's going to end in five. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends in six, but boy, it seems like Vegas has lost their mojo a bit. And it didn't look like that early on in the first. They looked fine, but they really could not get over the hump. And when they were a little bit injured and questioning themselves, the Caps pounced, man. The Caps really, really pounced. The end of that first period was just crazy. Is there a big whaling industry in the Carolinas? There is, in the fact that the owner can whale or fish, if you will, for a lot of money. That's where the whaling comes in. They're whaling. They're wailing Benjamins. They're wailing Benjamins. Daniel says it's going to end in six. Tom says, I just need this to be over. all right, we'll leave it there. So we got a lot of stuff to get into. Maybe a little bit more on the combine. We're going to be talking draft. We're going to be talking jerseys. We're going to be talking game five tomorrow night. Maybe live reaction show. I'm leaning towards live reaction show. If not, we'll do a pregame for sure. Now that we got the studio back up and running. I want game seven. The offseason is too long with no hockey, says Joe. Excellent point. I think we'd all love that. But we're going to come up quick on drafts and things of that nature. What's Lou going to do with the Islanders? There's a trade. Who's he going to go with coaching-wise? There's a lot of things. There's going to be plenty to talk about, that's for sure. Plenty to talk about. Jeff Skinner, is he get moved? Lots of rumors and things. All right, this is important. Share this broadcast. Like the page. Like the video on Facebook or YouTube. If you're watching on Facebook, go to our YouTube channel. Hit the like button. It all makes a difference. Share this around. Keep spreading the word. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Priscilla. Thanks, Mike. To everybody. Tom, Daniel, Joe, Eddie, everybody. Everybody who was in today. Great episode. Thank you, guys. Nice to be back in the studio. Nice to be back on the podcast. As always, HockeyTalkShow.com for everything. And game five tomorrow night. Can't wait to get into more hockey with you guys in the next couple of weeks.